Good morning. This time of year is a very busy and hectic time of the year for everybody. Thanksgiving 2025 is already behind us, and I hope that you enjoyed the time with loved ones. I hope that you had plenty of delicious food. It's the one time of year where I guess can justify gluttony a little bit. If you go into so much effort in preparing that delicious food, you've got to enjoy it, right? But I hope that you also, on top of the great food and the time with family, I hope that you were truly able to also take time to thank God for his many blessings. I will be honest, I am not a fan of winter. After 20-some years of living in the Caribbean, I don't like the cold. I don't like the snow. I don't like the ice. And so this is kind of a time of the year where part of me is happy, but part of me was like, oh no, winter. But the reality is, this is a beautiful time of the year. This is a time of the year where not only do we get to remember those things that we are grateful for, and we are able to celebrate in gratitude for God's blessings in our lives, but it's also a time of year where we begin to prepare to celebrate the birth of the greatest gift that God ever sent to mankind, his Son, Jesus Christ. So it is a beautiful time of year. Though it is cold, it is a beautiful time of year. And this is also, as I mentioned, an extremely busy time of the year. But in all of the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, I believe it's important for us to remember to praise the Lord. We need to remember to praise the Lord. As we go through Thanksgiving, which is a time of gratitude, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas and the birth of our Savior, the true meaning of Christmas, it's important for us to take time to praise the Lord. This morning, I would like to take some time to look at Psalm 100. It's only 5 verses, but I believe there's a lot for us to learn from in those 5 verses. And so, as I prepare to preach this message, and as we take some time to dig into these 5 verses, I want us to remember during this holiday season that we need to be praising the Lord, that we need to make praising the Lord a priority in our lives. So would you please stand and follow with me in your Bibles as I read Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, as we find ourselves in a very busy time of year, as we find ourselves in this season where we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and I hope that each of us took the time to thank you and to show our gratitude to you and for your many blessings in our lives. And as we approach the season, the Christmas season, where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, that this time, that this season may be a season of joy, that this time of year may be a time where we celebrate you, where we praise you, where we remember to praise you in our lives, not just on Thanksgiving, not just at Christmas, and not just on Sunday morning, but every single day, may our praise to you be on our lips and in our hearts and in our lives. So I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through this passage, through this psalm, and that we would be able to put these things that we're going to look at this morning into practice in each of our lives. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So remember to praise the Lord. This is a psalm of praise. And in this psalm, we're going to look at two things. We're going to answer two questions. The first question is, how do we praise the Lord? And the second question is, why do we praise the Lord? So this psalm answers both of these questions. How do we praise the Lord and why do we praise the Lord? So first of all, let's look at how we praise the Lord. How we praise the Lord. The first two verses answer that. The first two verses tell us how we praise the Lord. Verse 1 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 1 tells us that we praise the Lord with a joyful noise. Now, in the New King James, which I read out of, it says a joyful shout. In the King James Bible, it uses the word joyful noise. I particularly like the King James translation of noise, and I will explain it to you as I develop this message, and I think you'll understand why that particular word stands out for me. But the psalmist instructs us to praise God with our voices. However, praise is more than just going through the motions. Praise is more than just singing words. Praise is more than just creating music. Praise is more than just playing an instrument. It is more than the words and the musical notes. And I have a feeling that count your blessings, name them one by one. With a gloomy voice and a gloomy face is not exactly what the psalmist was referring to when he said, make a joyful noise. How often do we sing a hymn or a worship song and we don't even pay attention to what we're singing? We're not even processing the words in our minds, much less in our hearts. How often do we sing along with the congregation while our mind is not even remotely close to worshiping God? How often are we reading the words or singing them from memory, and at the same time, we're thinking about lunch after church or thinking about an issue that we have at home or thinking about an issue at work where our mind is somewhere completely else. Our mind is not processing. Our mind is not thinking. We are not worshiping God. We may be singing the songs. We may be going through the motions. Our lips may be moving. Noise, sound may be coming out. But we're not worshiping God. How often do we sing about the joy of the Lord with faces and body language that communicate anything but the joy of the Lord? Have you ever been guilty of that? I'll be honest, I have. How often do we get so caught up in critiquing the singing or critiquing the performance or critiquing the person who's standing behind us that's off key instead of focusing on God? I believe God enjoys beautiful music. I really do. He created it. I believe that God enjoys harmonies. God enjoys the beautiful sound of melodies and harmonies and great music. God enjoys that. I don't think he would have created beautiful music if it wasn't something he himself personally enjoyed. But I also believe that God would prefer to listen to people singing off key whose hearts are focused on him than a group of people singing in perfect harmony who are more concerned about hitting the right note than they are about worshiping God. Who is our worship for? What does it mean to make a joyful noise? What is the connection between our heart and worship? That's one of the lessons, that's one of the reasons that I like the way that the King James translates that passage as make a joyful noise, because it connects with me personally with a great lesson that God taught me many years ago when I was in my teens. Some of the greatest heartfelt worship I have ever experienced in my entire life was from a group of people who knew nothing about music. They couldn't even keep a tune if their life depended on it. But they had the joy in their life, the joy of the Lord in their life that I had never experienced in my life. These people were in complete poverty. My parents had started a church up in the mountains of the Dominican Republic. And these people had absolutely nothing. They lived in dirt, in little wooden shacks that were falling apart with dirt floor. No running water, no electricity, no modern conveniences whatsoever. Most of them had no education. Most of them could not read. But boy, did they love to sing praises to God. When they sang, it was a joyful noise. And trust me, it qualified as noise. And for me, as a teenager, the first couple times that I went along with my father for these services when this ministry was starting, it was distracting to me. Their singing was I couldn't even qualify as singing. When they would start to sing, I didn't even know what note to start with, because none of them were even close to an actual note that you would recognize. And I'll be, at first I thought it was funny. I actually chuckled. I giggled. This is ridiculous. This is singing. Then something happened. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I began to watch their faces. I began to see their eyes lit up, the smile on their faces, as they made a joyful noise, how they worshiped wholeheartedly, how they were grateful with tremendous gratitude to God, in their voices, in their expressions, in their actions. And in reality, they put me to shame. I wasn't rich. As growing up as a missionary kid, my parents didn't have a lot. But I truly was blessed. I had everything that I needed. All of my basic needs were met. And though I do not possess great musical abilities, I can at least carry a tune most of the time. But the Holy Spirit revealed something to me that day, that God was more pleased in their worship than he was in mine. He was more pleased with their joyful noise because they were doing it wholeheartedly. They weren't holding anything back. They were singing as loud as they could. They were singing with great emotion, some with tears in their eyes, with smiles on their faces, with the joy of the Lord in their hearts. The Holy Spirit revealed to me that day that God was more pleased with their worship than he was with mine. And so Paul tells the Hebrews that we are to praise God as a sacrifice, that our praise to God should be considered as a sacrifice to God. And I believe that these people truly understood that. They had nothing to give. From a physical perspective, they had no money to give. They had nothing to give the Lord. Praise was all they could give, and they gave it wholeheartedly. It truly was a sacrifice to God for these people, because they recognized that their voice, that their worship was all that they had to give to him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Is your praise a sacrifice to God? Are you truly giving your all to God when you are sitting here on a Sunday morning praising him? Are you giving God a sacrifice when you are spending time alone with him throughout the week? Are you pouring out your heart to him in a sacrifice of praise? These people were. And that's why I love the King James translation of that, because every time I hear the words joyful noise, my mind goes back to that mountain village with those people who had nothing, but yet their worship was a sacrifice to God. Their worship was everything that they could give to him. And they praised him with all of their might, as loud as they could, even if they weren't on key. How can we present a sacrifice to God when our minds aren't even in it? How can we present a sacrifice to God when we're more concerned about the melody and the harmonies and everything else than we really are on the words that we are expressing to our God in worship? The psalmist also says not only to praise the Lord with a joyful noise, but he also says to praise him with a glad heart. Verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Do you have a glad heart this morning? Did your praise this morning come out of the gladness of your heart? I know many of us are going through challenging times right now. Some of your circumstances I am fully aware of, and I know you're struggling. Some, I may not even know your struggles. I may not know what you're going through right now in your life. Me personally, God has been working on my heart through this message, even as I've been preparing to preach it, because as I've already shared with you, the last 3 weeks have been a very challenging trial for us, very discouraging. I know we all deal with headache. I know we all deal with pain. I know we all deal with challenging circumstances in our lives. I know that there are days where it seems difficult to find something to be glad about. I know there are days when we look at all of the circumstances around us and we probably couldn't pick out one circumstance today that I can be glad of. So how can we have gladness in our heart even in the midst of trials and tribulations? Well, there is something that each one of us, no matter what we are going through, can be glad about. If you are a child of God, you can be glad that not just this morning, but every single day for your relationship with God. And that is one of the reasons why my life verse, and actually last week, as I was probably one in my lowest points with this whole situation, with the sale of our house and Barb's residency renewal, And my mother said, "Hey, Dan, Habakkuk 3:18. Habakkuk 3:18 and 19 have been my life verse from the time that I was young. And every time that I have had trials and tribulations and difficulties, I have always recited that. I have always gone to that. The God, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The Lord, my Savior, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to go on heights." No matter what the circumstance, we can find joy in the Lord. Habakkuk wasn't finding joy in his circumstances. He was finding joy in the Lord. And my mother had to remind me of Habakkuk 3:18 and 19 last week, and I'm grateful for that. No matter what we're going through, we can still find joy in our relationship with God. It is in Him that we find hope in the midst of trials. It is through Him that we are filled with joy, even in difficult times, even when we're struggling, even when we're hurting, even when we're challenged. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." See, our joy does not come from our circumstances. As children of God, our joy comes from a relationship with God through the power and the hope of God through His Holy Spirit, who indwells us and empowers us. Even in the darkest times, we can still have joy in our hearts. We can still be glad in our hearts. The psalmist tells us in verse 4 that we should enter God's presence with a glad heart. Let's go to verse 4. It says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Be thankful to Him. When we come to worship God, we are to rejoice in Him. We are to come with hearts that are ready to praise Him. The psalmist understands the trials that we go through. He himself went through many trials. Just like every single one of us go through trials and difficulties and tribulations, trials are human. Your trials may be different than mine, but every single one of us knows what it's like to suffer, to feel loss, to feel pain. And in verses 3 and 5, the psalmist tells us why we praise the Lord. We saw how we praise Him. Now, I would like for us to take some time to look at why we praise Him. Why should we praise the Lord even in the midst of difficult times? Why should we be thankful and grateful to God even though we are going through very difficult, trying situations? Why should I thank God in this process of trying to sell our house in the Dominican Republic? Three months later, the bank still won't give us a closing date, and having to go back to renew Barb's residency and make multiple trips and spend thousands of dollars we weren't expecting to spend. Why should I be praising God even in the midst of that? Well, verses 3 to 5 tell us that. The first reason we find in verse 3, the first part is, "For He is God." Beginning of verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God." Not only is He God, but He is our God. He's a personal God. He's not a distant, impersonal God. He is our God. He is your God. Yes, we can claim Him as our God because He has claimed us as His children. If we have trusted Christ as Savior, we are His children. Therefore, He is our Father. He is our God. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you have a personal relationship with God. It's personal. It's not indifferent. And there are many people who claim to worship different gods, but according to scriptures, there is only one God. There is only one true God. No other God compares to Him. All other gods are Gods with a small g, created by man. And I know that it is politically incorrect to say this, but if you are to believe God's word, which I do, you have no alternative but to believe and to proclaim and to defend the fact that there is only one God. And He is our God. And He loves us. And He chose us. We are His children. And He is our God. That should be motivation enough for us to praise. If God's word can be trusted, which I believe it can, and I wouldn't be preaching here this morning if I did not fully trust the authority of God's word. But if God's word can be trusted, then this statement that there is only one true God is true. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22, it says, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." There is none like you. There is no other God. There is only one. That is what God's word says. Do you believe it? If you believe that, if you believe that there is only one God and that He has chosen you, that you are His child, that He is your God, that you have a personal relationship with the only God that exists, then you have more than enough reason to praise God. The one and only God claims you as His very own and desires an intimate relationship with you. He desires your worship. He desires and He deserves your praise. That is a reason to praise God. What is the next reason that we see in verse 3 to praise God? For He is our Creator. Let's continue with verse 3. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not ourselves." How many hunters do we have in here this morning? Raise your hand if you're a hunter. Okay. For the hunters out there, as you go out into the woods hunting in the next couple weeks, look at the great diversity in nature that God has created. And He has created all of it. He created all the animals, the plants, the land formations, bodies of water, the sun, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, and yes, He even created you. He created you. You wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Him. You would not have life if it wasn't for Him. You would not have a heartbeat if it wasn't for Him. You would not have breath in your lungs if it wasn't for Him. Is that not enough reason to praise God? Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him." Our lives are full of obligations, but our biggest obligation is to God. Why? Because He created us. Because He is the one who gave us life. Because He is the one that sustains our lives. Without Him, you and I would not exist. Because God is our Creator and the author of everything that exists, He deserves our praise. He also deserves our praise, for He is our shepherd. Let's go back to verse 3 and read the entire verse. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. As we discussed a few minutes ago, we can claim God as our own because he has already claimed us. We are his people. And Scripture uses many analogies to help us better understand spiritual truths. And one of the analogies that Scripture uses to help us understand our relationship with God is that of the relationship of a shepherd with his sheep. Now, in our culture today, that analogy may not carry as much significance as it did back then. Even if we have some modern shepherds today, the way we raise sheep today is very different than how it was done in biblical times. So in our culture, just reading those words may not have the significance to us that it would have had to somebody that was reading these words back then. Because we today don't really understand what it was like for a shepherd those days. The commitment that a shepherd had to his sheep. The sheep were completely dependent on the shepherd. And the shepherd was completely 100% devoted to his sheep. Being a shepherd was not a 9-to-5 job. You didn't clock out at the end of the day and go home and, you know, spend some quality time with your family. The shepherd was responsible for the sheep 24/7. It was total commitment. The shepherd provided pasture to feed and water to drink. He provided security for his sheep and was willing to risk his own life for the sake of the sheep. This was a relationship of total dependence, of total trust. The sheep didn't have to worry about anything because the shepherd took care of it. The shepherd provided. The shepherd protected. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4, a psalm I'm sure all of you are familiar with, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Sheep are helpless creatures. They could not survive without their shepherd. In the same way, without our shepherd, we too are helpless creatures. You have a shepherd who is looking out for you 24/7. He never clocks out. He never takes vacation. He never dozes off. He deserves your praise. Verse 5 also tells us that he deserves our praise, for he is good. Let's go down to verse 5, the first part. It says, "For the Lord is good." In my opinion, we use the word good a little too generously these days. Jesus said only God can be described by the word good. Where do we see that? In Mark chapter 10, verse 18. It says, "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God.'" Now, don't misunderstand this passage. Jesus is not denying his deity in this conversation that he's having with this young man. He is simply testing this young man to see if he truly recognizes who it is that he's speaking to. "You call me good. Only God is good. Do you recognize that you're talking to God right now?" for he is good. The point of this verse is that only God is good all of the time. Only God has a nature that is good. God can't be anything but good. There is no one else that you can say that about. I may be good some of the time, but sometimes I'm not. You may be good some of the times, but sometimes you're not. God is good all of the time. That's his nature. That's who he is. Not only is God good, but his actions towards us are good. He deserves our praise. God also deserves our praise because he is merciful. Let's go back to verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Mercy is withholding a punishment that we deserve. God's word clearly states that we are sinners and that we deserve death, eternal death, separation from God from all of eternity. In his mercy, in place of the punishment that we deserve, God offers us a gift of eternal life. Where do we see that? In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages, that's something that you earn. When you go to work, whether you are salary or whether you're hourly, you fulfill your work, you receive wages. God's word says that our wages, what we have earned, what we deserve because of our sin, is death. Now, the word death means separation. In our normal context, when we speak of separation, when we speak of the word death, we speak of the separation of the soul and the body. When the soul is no longer present with the body, the person is considered dead. However, in this context, it is talking about eternal death, separation from God for all eternity. For the wages of sin is death. What we deserve, every single one of us, what we have earned because of our sin is separation from God for all of eternity. But God is merciful. Because Romans 6:23 goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad that he offers us a second chance? Aren't you glad that he is merciful? Aren't you glad that he is forgiving? That he gave us a way out? That he offers us forgiveness? Aren't you glad that God's a merciful God? Because God is merciful and has offered you forgiveness, even though you don't deserve it, he deserves your praise. And finally, verse 5 tells us that he deserves our praise for he is truthful. Let's go back to verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Our experiences have taught us to be skeptical about all things. Even Tuesday, we were told, come back, Barb's residency will be ready. Even though I'm going, I'm skeptical. Because we were told that last Friday, and we went, and it wasn't. Our experiences as human beings being let down by people time after time after time makes us skeptical, makes us doubtful. Especially when things sound too good to be true. Have you ever had somebody present something to you and you're like, that sounds too good to be true? And in most cases, it probably is. But not when it comes to God. We have all been lied to. We've all been deceived. We've all been cheated. We've all been taken for a ride a time or two in our lives. However, there is one who promises to always be truthful. There is one whose word we can always count on. There is one whose promises we can take to the bank. Truth isn't something that he chooses. We choose whether or not we will be truthful. God doesn't choose to be truthful. He is truth. It is his character. It is one of his attributes. He is truth. He cannot be anything but true. God cannot lie. God cannot deceive. God cannot cheat. We can count on his word. We can count on his promises. Jesus describes himself as the truth, not just one who speaks truth, but one who is truth. His identity, where do we see that? In John 14:6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God is always truthful. He will never lie to us. He will never deceive us. And his word is fully reliable. Therefore, he deserves our praise. So this holiday season, let's be grateful for our families. Let's be grateful for God's provision. Let's be grateful for our church. But most of all, let's be grateful for our God. He deserves our praise and he is waiting to hear it. So let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord every day of every year for the rest of our lives. Let's make a joyful noise. Let's come to God with gladness in our hearts. Let's worship him the way he desires and the way he deserves. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word that speaks to our hearts and challenges our lives. Lord, may we truly be individuals, may we truly be a church that understands what it means to praise you, what it means to worship you. That we would do it with all of our strength, that we would do it with all of our hearts, that we would do it as a sacrifice that we give to you, not distracted, not with our minds somewhere else, not half-heartedly, but fully committed and devoted to praising and honoring you with our voices, with our hearts, with our lives, with our actions. Because you deserve it. Because you are worth it. And because you ask us to do it. So I pray, Lord, that if there's anything that we as individuals and as a church are known for and recognized as individuals who know how to worship you, who know how to give you a sacrifice of praise, who know how to worship you wholeheartedly in spirit and in truth. Lord, may we praise you with every breath that we have. May we worship you in every opportunity that we get. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.